Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Kemp and Becker United Methodist Church of Becker in the Kaufman County area and the East District of the North Texas Conference. Thank you for coming out and joining us this wonderful Easter Sunday morning. It is Easter, finally. So the Lord is risen indeed. Couple of quick announcements. We have been using Facebook Live, obviously, for streaming. You can find the sermons after. They'll be posted there for the video as well on Facebook, but then afterwards you can find the videos on and the audio on our website at First UMC, kempumc.org, I believe, is the website address. And if that's wrong, I apologize, but I'll get it out there corrected as soon as I can. It is good for everybody to come in. As you come along, come on, put a comment in there that you're joining us this morning. Happy Easter to each and every one of you as you wake up, as you see the beautiful sunrise that we have, or sunshine that we have now. At sunrise, I guess it wasn't that beautiful, quite a bit of rain. And hopefully everybody survived that okay. If there's nothing else, one other thing. Birthdays and anniversaries will forego this week for Easter in honor of that. And we will definitely pick those up next week and recognize everyone. But if you have a birthday this week, know that we are thinking of you and wish you the best of those times as well. So join me now in our centering words and our invitation as we begin our worship service this morning. Hopefully you have a copy of the order of worship. It should be emailed to you, and if you don't, if you're joining us for the first time, you can just follow along and join in where you know, or maybe where you don't know, but just follow along as best you can. In the midst of our Good Friday grief, a sparrow sings in the garden, heralding the morning as sunlight kisses the dewy grass. And join me in our call to worship. Shout for joy, the tomb is empty. Clap your hands, death is cheated. Dance and sing, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And if you'll continue to join me with our opening prayer. God of mystery and might, your wondrous love always seems to catch us off guard. We come to the tomb looking for death, but find life instead. As we behold the glory of our salvation, take us back to that moment of discovery when grief and loss gave way to a glimmer of hope. Before we shout our alleluias, remind us of the moment when despair was transported into glimpses of new possibilities. In the holy awe of Easter morning, we take a moment of silent gratitude that Christ calls each of us by name. Shout it from the mountaintop. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. And if you'll join me on the song sheet, and we're going to sing 302, a cappella, obviously, but it is a good one, and hopefully you remember it very well. Number 302, Christ is risen today. One, two. Christ is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, Alleluia. Where thy victory o'er the grave, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise. Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ hath led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia. Amen. So now we come to our time of children's message, and Kim, if you'll bring that for us.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're having a good week, and happy Easter to everyone. I know that our egg hunt, we couldn't have that, but hopefully you did some things at home this morning or are going to, as a family together, to really celebrate and enjoy this Easter weekend. Last week, I talked to you about one of the things we do as Christians, and that's prayer. And today I was going to talk about the second thing, which is presence. And presence is really being there. So I know when you guys were in school, your teacher would call for the attendance and you would say, I'm here. And so you know what presence means. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit deeper about that, about really being somewhere and not just saying I'm here, but what does that mean? So, you know, when I'm watching television or I'm listening to YouTube and David comes in to talk to me, I'll pause it so I can really hear what he's saying or really listen. Or when I'm in church, I'm not picking up my phone or looking at other things because I want to really be there and be in the moment. And that's what God wants us to do. So there's time that we're home and we're doing things and we're busy, but God wants to know that we're really saying, I'm here, I'm present, and I'm with you. So when you are praying or when you're reading scripture or when you're watching church, really think about that and ask yourself the question, am I really here or am I just saying I'm here to be present in that time? So let's think about that this week and how we can really be present with God and take a moment to be there, really there with God. So let's pray, okay? Dear God, we thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Please help us to remember to say when you call on us, are you here, for us to really truly answer, I am here, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim. As she steps away to finish preparing our communion elements, I hope if you have somebody else there available to you to do that, or you've taken care of it before we started, that'd be great. We're going to actually start our worship service now, or our proclamation part of the worship service, with a prayer of confession, and then we'll move into the scripture and the message. So if you'll join me in our prayer of confession that I had sent out, I'll follow that with the words of assurance, but please join me now as we pray. Receive our lament, Lord of life, for during your final days we turned away from you, even after you shared table with us, offering us the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. And in your host hour of greatest need, we fell asleep while you prayed in the garden, even after you urged us to keep the faith, to avoid the time of trial. But we are here now, dearest friend, remembering what it cost you to know the joy we feel today. May our lives reflect the depth of our gratitude to be known as your disciples. Amen. The one who raised Jesus from the dead offers us life and forgiveness of sins. Rejoice in Christ our Savior, whose resurrection brings us life. Our scripture today comes from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. I will be reading from the NRSV. Please follow along in your Bible of choice, in your translation of choice. Hear now the word of God. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him." This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of God for the people of God. Easter Day is finally here. I know we're excited about that. Many of you young ones, especially if you got your Easter basket already, that's probably pretty much the news of the day for you. I know you probably have already tuned me out, but that is okay. I will push on, and hopefully those who are still listening can get a little piece of a message here that we can take with us as we go forth, as we really understand who it is that we are called to be. So we started the Lenten season this year thinking about it as a time of preparation, much like that of Advent. And I had kind of drew some comparisons and talked about different things over the weeks that leading up to this point. But during Advent, we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But this time, this is not when Christ comes into the world, rather, but Lent is where we are preparing to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It is the time when we celebrate Christ overcoming death. Palm Sunday, we celebrated Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. That's how our week began last week. And as we went through the week, Palm Sunday was a triumphant entry. The crowds were shouting loud hosannas and laying down their cloaks and palm branches as he rode in on the back of a donkey and her colt. Quite the scene we were looking at and contemplating, and I wanted us just think about that moment where we have this celebration in Jerusalem where the crowds are backing him up there. It's kind of like his word and message is really spreading throughout those crowds that have been following throughout the region of Galilee and all the areas that he had his ministry. Then Thursday we celebrated the institution of Holy Communion as Jesus makes with us a new covenant in the bread and wine in that Passover meal that he shared with the disciples. And then Friday night, we'd heard again that story of Jesus' final hours as he is wrongfully accused, tried, and ultimately condemned to die on the cross for us. The reading ended with his body being laid in the tomb in the garden. Today, however, today is a new day. Today is Easter. And it is finally here, as I said earlier. And we should be celebrating this thought of joy now. We have the realization, as our story tells us, that the tomb is now empty. And the women, Mary, the two Marys that were headed that way to see and check on the tomb, were the first to hear the news. Today is this, I want us to think about this thought of fear and great joy. That was what the two Marys had as they went to tell the disciples. After they had the encounter with the angel and the angel spoke to them, they had this thought as they were returning. They had these feelings of fear and great joy. So they're running back, and then Jesus appears to them, as the story tells us. And they stop, take a moment, and they're worshiping. And then Jesus then tells them that same message again. And I think it's important that it was repeated. And I want to tell you this, or this is why I feel that, and I hope you can agree, because believe it or not, I personally have these same feelings, especially when I'm trying to share my faith journey. You know, when I'm trying to share my witness or express to someone that I may not know very well or even at all that I am a Christian, right? I believe in this risen Lord. There is this level of fear, but also great joy. And, you know, there's where these feelings come in to bear, right? And when we're doing these things or when we're in these moments, it might be a moment even when we've had this great feeling or experience of the divine presence in our life. And when that happens, we have this opportunity then, or we get excited and we want to share with other folks, right? That great joy is spilling out. But then when we get in front of somebody, there's this little bit of fear that creeps in sometimes, right? And that fear, it brings on these physical responses, right? For me, I get a little nervous. My heart beats a little faster. I can see what I want to say, right? I have it in my mind's eye what I want to say and how I want to say it. But then inevitably, if the nervousness is too much or the fear is too great, the words come out all wrong, right? The message is lost. And that's where, you know, it seems to be this problem that takes over when I let fear take over that response, right? That response is taken over by the fear. But if I focus on the great joy, if we focus on the great joy side of this these feelings, right? If we focus on that part, some of the physical responses may be the same, right? I might still have that elevated heart rate. I might still be excited to say something, maybe even a little nervous. But more times than not, this is the part that really kind of sinks in. More times than not, what happens is when we start to speak, or when I start to speak about and share my faith, then the message is like much clearer, and people can really connect with what I'm saying about who God is in my life, and that connection I have, and that the relationship I have with Jesus, right? And that's the thing that we want to shine through for us, right? So there is this kind of this dichotomy, I guess, of fear and great joy. And we all have these feelings. And sometimes, many times, just like the two women that were the first to be told that Jesus was raised, we too have that same intrepidation or those fears and great joy filling us at the same time. And it's a weird feeling. And I want us to think about this, right? Because today, when it is so difficult for us to go outside now, and for legitimate reasons, right? There's this fear now, and it's a legitimate fear for some of us and for most of us, of what is happening in our world. You know, the spread of the COVID-19 virus is a bit scary, and I don't want to take away anything from that or play that down. But it is, you know, the response that we choose and how to share with the world that matters, right? Are we going to focus on the response from fear, or are we going to, or that response from great joy? That's the question that we have before us. That's what we need to decide. And this is an example of what happened this week. In fact, it just happened yesterday. We, Kim and I, went to the local grocery store, and we were just looking for a few items for to be able to bake some things for the, you know, for Easter. You know, we wanted to make some cookies and some breads and do some different things like that. So we needed a little bit of flour. I think we needed some sugar, which my personal favorite. There's both kinds. We got some white granulated sugar. We also got brown sugar. Both of my personal favorites at the top of the list of things I enjoy. Any kind of processed sugar, as I've told you many times. And then there were some other odds and ends to ensure that we could be able to make this recipes that we had planned. And, you know, before all the pandemic that's been going around in this very real sense of this infection that we could get, this viral infection, you know, this would have taken maybe 10 minutes. It would have been no big deal. But now, with the rules of social distancing, it was, you know, impacted. Our time there at the store was impacted. But I think more importantly than our time, because either way, it still didn't take that long, there was this other thought that we were being impacted by. So in the new rules of social distancing, and I don't know how it is for every store that you've been to, but most of the stores here in the Dallas County area now are putting up clear paths that you're supposed to follow as you go through the store. And this is to help, you know, us with our social distancing. Now, some areas like the produce area, it's kind of wide open and it's hard to put down every direction which way to go and how to go in between different areas. But when you're in that area, you have, it's kind of open. You can see, oh, I can park my cart here and then I can walk over there and get what I need to walk back and you know, not interfere with other people's personal space in this social distancing era that we live in now. And that's what we try to do, right? But this is what happened yesterday. So with these few things we needed, the aisles are, like I said, are clearly marked. But it seemed like for us that we were the only people that were really paying attention to social distancing rules or the guidelines of what we should be doing as we move around the store. And I guess it tends, you know, here's the thing. It starts to get frustrating because here's what happens. Like, and this is a real example of what happens. People would see us waiting for another person, like to exit one of the aisles that we needed to get into, and they were clearly going the wrong direction, that person that we were waiting to exit. Well, the other person comes up and smiles at us and then proceeds into the aisle anyway. And, you know, totally ruins the whole point of social distancing. That was just one example. That happened throughout the rest of our trip, journey through the store, and it was very difficult to find, okay, moments where when you're in the aisles that people were really adhering to the rules. And this was probably the biggest thing that happened. So when we get to the checkout lane, and there's no rules there too, you wait and at least 6 feet, you can't put your stuff on the conveyor belt until after the person is fully checked. I mean, all their groceries are checked and bagged and they're into the cart. Then you can start adding yours to the belt. And we were waiting for that, and a person walks up behind me, like literally right behind me, and is standing there until I move, right? I move forward and to get out of the way of there, or to give me some space of distance anyway, safe distance between them and I. And this is the funniest part, I guess, of the whole day, the most ironic part, because the person who's also standing in the lane next to us waiting for their turn to move onto the belt walks from their cart over to closer to me, about to the little cooler that's in between the two checkout lanes, and is pulling something out and says, "Some people just don't get it." And my response was this. I looked at the floor, at the 1 to 2 feet now I had remaining between me and this new person, and then I looked back up to them and I said, "They certainly do not." And I was hoping that they got the message of my sarcasm and irony, that you just broke the social distance barrier because you now are in this 6 foot space. And this is the takeaway. As I got home and as I got to the car and we were putting our things away, and Kim and I were discussing this, and I said to myself, you know, I feel like I failed there. And here's what it is. I'm not saying I was responding out of fear, right, of anything while I was in the store or interacting with the people in the grocery store, but I can say that I was not focused on responding from a place of great joy. And I think that is my personal failure. I don't know how you guys handle it, and I don't want to judge you in any way, and I'm not trying to, and I'm not even really trying to judge myself. What I am trying to say, though, is there is this real life opportunity here where I had an opportunity yesterday to really still respond, even though we are in a fearful time. But I can still respond out of joy, out of that great joy that I have with my relationship in Christ, knowing that today of all days is the day that we recognize and celebrate our salvation of the resurrected Christ. And that's the person I want to be, right? I want to be guided by and filled by the resurrected Christ that Christ that is my example, Jesus as my example, and to me, that I want to be to the world. And I don't think that Jesus would have looked at the floor and drew necessarily attention to the fact that that person, you know, misstepped and broke that distance of barrier, that social distancing barrier. That wasn't what was important. But for me in that moment, it was all I could focus on. And I think that's the part that I failed at. And I think what I should have been is, they may not, but we should be more graceful in our response, is what I should have told that person. And it's what I probably should have told myself, just so I could hear it over and over and over again. Now, I did not respond with great joy, but I pray that I will, that we will, the next time. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Our tithes and offerings, we do have an opportunity, and I'm going to have to ask Belva, if you're listening, or Ellerine, to post for us in the comments. We do have a new, and we're still working out the kinks with it, but we have new electronic giving that you can use through PayPal if you so desire, would like to support our ministries here at First Kemp. That's one way you can do it. At Becker, you still need to send your giving and tithing in through the mail, and Becker's post office at box number is 92 in Kemp, Texas, 75143. For those of you who need that information, that again is P.O. Box 92, Kemp, Texas, 75143. And then First Kemp, if you still want to mail in your giving that way, and that's fine, we will accept it that way as well. Mail your checks in that way. It is P.O. Box 327 at Kemp, in Kemp, Texas, that same zip code, 75143. So either of those is how you want to do your giving. We also have a PayPal account, like I said, for First UMC Kemp, if you'd like to start moving to electronic giving. And we can get the details posted on our website, which I have not yet, and as well as we can get them posted here in the comments for those of you that would like to use that way. And like I said, we're still working out some technical things on that, but there you go. Thank you, Jim. But it is open and ready for use for those of you who'd like to give electronically. All right. All that said, we come to our time that I'd love to just pray for our offering, and then I would like to move into our time of pastoral prayer. So let me pray for our offering first, and then we'll open up our pastoral prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the faithfulness in which you have come to us and given us this beautiful, beautiful Sunday where the sun is out and it is shining and it is drying up the wonderful rain that we need. Maybe not so much right now, but we certainly will be glad we had now later in the summer when there's not a drop to be found. Lord, we know that through our giving here, our opportunities to provide offering and return gifts to you, Lord, that we know that your great power, your great wonderful omnipotence can take those gifts and truly make them multiply for your works, not just here in our city of Kemp and Becker and our county of Kaufman, but way beyond through our connection through the North Texas Conference and the United Methodist Church. So, Father, we lift up these gifts and we thank you and praise you and say amen. Excuse me. So we are at our time of pastoral prayer, and I want us to think about those names that come to our mind. Think about those joys too. If you have gotten some good news of some names that we've been lifting up of late, then let's just put that name in there and say joy next to it, because we need good news too, as well as names that we want to continue to pray for. So I am thankful that many new people are beginning to watch our feed. That is one joy I'd like to lift up. It is nice to have people from other churches and other areas that we are able to connect with here on this feed and do this moment and share this time of worship together. So I'm thankful for that. If you know some other names that we need to lift up, please let us know. Just put the name, first name, and if it's a new concern, we can definitely take that moment okay, there's a joy. Thank you, Peggy. But we can also take a moment, if you need to give us more details, you can use the Contact Us form on our webpage at kempumc.org, or you can send it directly to my email at pastordavid@att.net. And I will take that information and make sure we get it to our prayer chain, our group of prayer ministry warriors. So as those names are coming in, we want to respond with, Lord, hear our prayer. Family of Troy, Lord, hear our prayer. Family of James, Lord, hear our prayer. Sonia Anderson Charlotte, a joy. Lord, hear our prayer. Patrick, also a joy. Hear our prayer. I'm going to bow and close us in a prayer. As if you have a few more names you'd like to add, we will continue to pull those names and follow up with you individually if we need more details. So let's bow for a word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I don't know how we thank you enough, not only for this day, but this day that we celebrate your resurrected Son. It's such a special day in the life of the church, in the life of our faith journeys. Lord, I just know that it is a time now that when we are celebrating, Lord, that there is still this opportunity to serve others. So Father, one of the ways we serve in the United Methodist Church and as believers in the body of Christ, Father, is to pray for one another. And we thank you for these joys and as well as the concerns that we lift up to you today. We have joys of people recovering, of those being not just healed, but also helped through whatever moment they needed. And Lord, we also have new concerns of families who have lost loved ones. And we just lift up those families to you. Father, we know that there are very trying times each and every day. But we also know, Lord, that our faith in you and our faithfulness in prayer is one way that we can counteract those trials. We can continue to stay connected to you. It is a moment of not only corporate worship as we share today, but also individual worship when we pray individually to you. So Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name, and we just ask that you continue to answer and provide for those names that we have on these lists that we have each week. And we thank you for all that you give us. Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we now come to our time of service of Holy Communion, as I said, I hope you've prepared your elements already. And if not, you have a minute or two to get that done as we go through the liturgy. We have already we've already given our confession at the beginning, that confession prayer at the beginning of our service. So I'm going to pick up with the service, our service of Holy Communion with the Great Thanksgiving. If you could follow along, we will go through this and we will be prepared to break the bread after that. So the Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love faded, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You can come in. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection. You gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Church, and with your Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive ourselves
trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you have your elements, begin to share. Kim, the body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
body, Christ given for you.
Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Join me in our prayer after receiving. Eternal God, we give thanks to you for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We will close with He Lives from the song sheet. It is a number 310. And we just have the one verse and the refrain, and then we'll have our benediction and our dismissal. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever foes may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. I sure do miss Anne on days like this. In our dismissal, go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.